Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Where To Go. I'm James Atkinson, brand manager at DK Eyewitness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, senior editor at DK Eyewitness.
And welcome to Where To Go, where every fortnight we find out more about the world's favourite travel destinations with the people who know those places best. And today, Lucy, I know we went to LA last week.
Yeah.
We spoke to Javier.
Yes.
We're getting a little bit closer to home.
Much closer to home, yes.
Much, much closer to home, and particularly a lot closer to my home,
yes,
I guess.
So
we are going to Manchester. Manchester, traditionally, often considered England's second city. Manchester's a real sort of cultural hub. It's also a kind of sporting mecca. It's really important in sort of the history of the Industrial Revolution around the world. And we are delighted to be joined by our friend Dan Stables, who's worked with DK Eyewitness quite a lot, to discuss it. But first, I just wanted to know, have you ever been to Manchester?
I've had two experiences in Manchester. I went on a night out in Manchester in my early 20s, which was weirdly a family friend was turning, I think, 60, 65. So I had a night out with him and his mates, which was really fun. And my other experience in Manchester is I've seen Crystal Palace play Man City right here in London.
That is not an experience of Manchester.
But, you know...
You went to Crystal Palace.
I went to Crystal Palace.
Did you just hear some Manchester accents and that was your...
We went to this pub and weirdly we were just surrounded by Man City fans in South London. And I had the best day and it was pouring with rain and naturally Palace lost. But I just had the loveliest day. Everyone was so friendly and I really enjoyed the football and I went for a great Chinese afterwards.
That's not a Manchester story, albeit, I mean, I've been to watch football in Manchester and it is amazing. But one of my greatest like football memories is the day when Man City or Man United could win the Premier League in 2013 or so. I was sat in the Albion pub, a really famous football pub in like London Fields, sadly no longer with us. And outside was all the United fans, inside was all the City fans. And the score like changed and literally all the United fans outside were like, chanting and shouting, and then all the City fans went mad, which I think just shows some of the like huge passion for
the passion,
city,
exactly,
and the pride that kind of exists. And I think like Mancunians around the world are really, really famous for that.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll come on to that with Dan. But then, sorry, James, I'm sure you've had some more authentic Manchester experiences.
I'm from the north of England, and all trains in the north run to Manchester pretty much. Apart from those that run to London. I've been to quite a few gigs in Manchester. I had quite a few mates who went to Manchester University as well. Yeah. So I went to the famed Fallowfield, massive student ghetto, which was pretty thriving in the mid 2000s. But also, I've visited there a few times. I played there with my band a couple of years ago, which was really fun. Very cool. Really cool. And really cool to, it was a few years since I'd last visited the city and saw it had like kind of changed a little bit. And I don't know, it's one of those places that seems to change and stay the same all the time, which yes. I'm sure we'll touch on with Dan as well. But yeah, it's been a couple of years. I've got a few friends I need to go and visit up there. So I'm desperate to find out from Dan what we need to do where we need to go.
Yes.
So should we get to it?
Yes, let's get to it.
Dan Stables is a travel writer who works with the BBC, National Geographic, Lonely Planet, amongst others, including with our own books at DKR Witness. So yeah, without further ado, hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's brilliant to finally have you on the podcast. I know you work with quite a lot of the team here at DKR Witness, Dan, so it's great to have you on and to talk about all things Manchester.
Yes, long overdue, Dan. So welcome, welcome. So we'll begin by learning more about Dan himself, and then we'll move on to Manchester and the best things the city has to offer, as well as some insider tips on visiting the city. And we'll bring you up to speed with what the city is like in today's climate.
So Dan, what was it that drew you to live in Manchester originally?
So I originally moved to Manchester for university. I grew up in the southwest in like the middle of the countryside, so I just wanted to experience something somewhere different part of the country, big city. And you know, Manchester had a great reputation, as it still does, for nightlife, all that sort of thing, which was probably more important to me when I was 19 than it is now. But so I went to uni here, had a great time. It's one of the best places to be a student in the country. I think it's got, I think I'm right in saying, the biggest student population in the whole of Europe, I think, or at least it was certainly then, because there's
I've heard that too.
Yeah,
there's like three different universities, right, or more.
Yeah, so there's Manchester University where I went, and then there's Man Met, and then there's Salford Uni as well. And they're all big universities, so there's a great sort of student scene there. I remember, like, the kind of student ghetto, if you like, where loads of the students live is Fallowfield, which is in South Manchester. Yep. And I think at that time it was the only address in the country where you had to opt in to pay council tax rather than opting out, because everyone was a student pretty much. So yeah, obviously it was a great place to be a student. And then after I graduated, I moved down to London for about 5 years. But then when I became a travel writer and started traveling a lot with work, it just got to the point where paying to rent in London just stopped making sense, really, when I was going away for months at a time. And so I decided to leave London, still had lots of friends up in Manchester, and so that was that decision made, really.
Great.
I'm guessing that you're now not living, Dan, in that sort of very studenty hub in Manchester. I'm guessing you found whereabouts are you living now then in the city?
So right now I live in the city centre. Technically it's Salford because of the side of the River Irwell that I live on. So historically that the River Irwell divides Manchester and Salford. And nowadays it kind of runs pretty much close to the middle of Manchester city centre. So I live just on the other side of it, near to the Lowry Hotel and the Manchester Arena and the Cathedral, a few of the sort of landmarks nearby. So it's about a 15-20 minute walk of anywhere else in the city centre, really. Having said that, I'm just about to move. So I've been here for 4 years and I'm going to move to Didsbury, which is kind of like a sort of leafy suburb in the south of Manchester, lots of nice parks and stuff. So yeah, looking forward to that.
Because that is a point, like Manchester is not just the city centre, it's not just even Salford as well. It's like, you know, there's Greater Manchester kind of encompasses loads of different places from like Bury to Oldham to Didsbury, etc. It's pretty huge. And I think it competes with Birmingham and the West Midlands for like being sort of the UK's second biggest hub, really.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And there's definitely, obviously, like, my experience now living in the city centre is very different from my experience of being a student, when I was living in Fallowfield, and then again, living in the suburbs will be very different again. But they all have their sort of pros and cons. So like where I am living right now is so great because it's so compact that there's so much variety within a small area. You know, like I said, everywhere is within walking distance. And that's especially stark coming from London, where, you know, there's that cliche that everywhere takes an hour to get to when you live in London.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
Whereas here it's like, you know, pretty much all my friends who also live in town, I can get to within like 10, 15 minutes. And
brilliant.
So yeah, you could be like vintage shopping in the Northern Quarter, and then you could go for a few drinks in Ancoats or something, and then you could be having dinner in Chinatown, and they're all only like a 10-minute walk away from each other. And so it means you can be really spontaneous. You can just call someone up and say, what are you up to tonight? And we could go out for a drink or go for dinner or something. And that's the nice thing about being in the city centre, because it's like you're already immersed in the sort of life of the city.
Absolutely. And what do you, I know this is quite a tricky question because it can be pretty broad, but what do you love most about Manchester?
Yeah. Obviously, like you say, it's hard to choose just one thing, but I would say that for me, it's about the food and the drink. I'm a big foodie. I like a drink as well. And there's just so many, again, because of that compactness and the amount of variety there is, you know, you can just, there's so many sort of world cuisines you can have. And increasingly also British restaurants are coming to the fore more here, like they are in London and in lots of cities as well. It's getting a bit more recognition. But yeah, so I would say the food and the drink, the fact that you can walk pretty much everywhere. Then out in the suburbs, again, there's great green spaces. I mean, Manchester isn't associated with good... The city centre is not good at all for parks and green spaces. But once you get out to the suburbs, there's absolutely loads. Around Didsbury and Chorlton, there's a big chain of parks which all connect with each other, which sort of run along the banks of the River Mersey. So there's Fletcher Moss Botanical Gardens, which is all full of, like, exotic plants. And there's Chorlton Water Park, Kenworthy Woods, Sale Water Park, various others. So... yeah, once I move there, there's no excuse for me not to start running again. That's for sure.
I will always find an excuse not to run.
Yeah, I'm sure I will as well. But, yeah, beyond that, I think just generally the kind of attitude of the place and of Mancunians is, you know, people think of Manchester and they think of like Tony Wilson and the Stone Roses, the Gallagher brothers, this kind of swagger. And you'd think that those people might be quite extreme examples of it, but actually you do kind of encounter it everywhere. And there's this confidence about Manchester, which is very kind of cross-disciplinary. Like there's obviously the music, but there's also very significant figures in other fields. Like Emmeline Pankhurst was Mancunian. Alan Turing is very associated with Manchester, and there's the great football teams. So there's this kind of air of success, which is quite inspiring to be immersed in, I'd say.
Yeah, there's a lot of certainly when I've been to Manchester a few times, there's a lot of pride there, and you know, you can see like I Heart MCR like stickers everywhere pretty much, and you know, there's a real kind of love of the city and a love of that kind of culture as well, and a pride of being, you know, of being slightly different, I guess, which is quite cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for the uninitiated like me, let's start with a quick fire tour of the city. So Dan, we're going to name a few categories and you have to suggest just one thing to do. So clear your mind. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Cool.
Great. So first off, your favourite thing to see in Manchester.
Okay, I would say probably the John Rylands Library, which is, it's on Deansgate, which is kind of the main commercial street in Manchester. And it's surrounded by all these more modern buildings, sort of glass, steel buildings. But then there's this amazing building, which looks sort of like a Gothic cathedral, all like vaulted ceilings and statues and stained glass and stuff, even though it was purpose-built as a library in, I think, about 1900. And it's probably the most amazing building in Manchester, I would say. But it also contains some amazing manuscripts, which are like either on display or you can request to see them. So they've got like the oldest known fragment of the New Testament, loads of medieval, like illuminated manuscripts, rare sort of Chaucer manuscripts, things like that. And it's just in a place where, you know, most of my other sort of recommendations are probably going to be to do with going out to eat and drink, or where to watch the football and stuff like that. It's just something which is such a like an amazing sort of cultural thing to do. I'd recommend that everyone does that.
A temple to literature. Well, we're all for that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely. So next up, you mentioned before that you like a bit of a drink. So what just one thing you'd like to drink?
So the one drink I would say is, and this will probably, I'm thinking in particular of my girlfriend's reaction to this, which is just, she absolutely hates this kind of thing. But I'd say a nice pint of ale, like Cheshire Cat is a nice local ale. You know, proper stuff like room temperature, flat.
Yeah, English ale. Hand-pulled.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And I'd say probably the most amazing pub, if you can call it that, or bar in Manchester, is a place called Refuge, which is in a building which is now on the ground floor of a hotel called the Kimpton Clock Tower Hotel. But it's a very sort of, it's a local landmark really in Manchester. It was built in the 19th century as a kind of, it was an insurance company's building originally, but then it became the Palace Hotel, which was very iconic, and now it's under different ownership. But on the ground floor is the Refuge, which is this massive bar, restaurant sort of area where it has all the building's original features, like these glazed tiles, big arches, chandeliers, and then in the middle there's a huge glass sort of atrium, which they call the Winter Garden. And it's such a nice place to nestle in for a few drinks, and they do a really good roast as well if you're there on a Sunday. So I'd definitely say to everyone to check out the Refuge.
Excellent recommendation.
Sounds perfect. That and a pint of ale. I love it. So then, leading on actually from a roast, how about your favourite place to eat and what are you eating there?
So Manchester is famous for a place called the Curry Mile, which is a mile of curry restaurants. And it's down, it's in Rusholme, which is kind of just south of the city centre. And it's near the university's area. So when I was a student there, when lots of people who are students there now, they kind of make it their business to try and figure out the very best curry house in the Curry Mile. And for my, by my reckoning, there's only one winner, which is a place called Moodley, where they just do like great, it's nothing kind of, you know, so many places in Manchester included now, like Indian street food, and it's, you know, doesn't really bear that, well, it might bear a relation to Indian street food, but it's kind of 15 quid for like a little small plate of something. Yes. And it's a sit-down restaurant. Yeah. But this place is just kind of, it's like a traditional kind of British Indian curry house, but they just do such good food. So they do a dish called a Railway Cindy, which is like a really good sort of lamb curry. So yeah, that's what I'd recommend.
Excellent. Lovely. That's a great choice. I do remember going to the Curry Mile about 2007 and not finding the best curry in the world, to be honest. But clearly my friend had not done his research. Sorry, Alan. Okay, moving on. So your favourite activity?
Okay. Well, I'd say one thing that everyone should try and do at least when they're in Manchester is to try and get to a football match. Whether or not you're into football, it's just such a great... I mean, it's not always possible to get tickets for, you know, the big teams. But tickets for cup games in particular sometimes do go on general release. And even if they don't, you can get like a light membership, which is like, costs like 20 quid or something. And then you get access to more of the match tickets go on sale. And Manchester really is, you know, whether you're into football or not, it's one of the football capitals of the world, certainly. And going to Old Trafford to watch Man United is one of the great sporting experiences you can have. I know that there is another place in East Manchester where they have the odd game, but I think it's got to be Old Trafford, really.
I was going to wonder where your allegiance was, Dan, but I think you've made that pretty clear now.
Well, even if the trophy cabinet's looking a bit sort of dusty these days, there's still, it is an amazing... I mean, having said that, it is easier to get tickets for Man City because they tend not to sell out because not as many tourists will go and stuff. But, you know, if you sort of keep your ears to the ground, it's it's normally possible to get a ticket for somewhere, and it is an amazing experience.
So finally, Dan, your favourite museum or gallery in Manchester?
I'm going to say, not just as a great museum, but as a kind of general cultural introduction to, or historical introduction into Manchester, I'd say definitely go to the Museum of Science and Industry, which is sort of close to the city centre in an area called Castlefield, which has a lot of like industrial heritage and is free, like a lot of British museums. And it's a great introduction to the history of the Industrial Revolution, which shaped so much of modern Manchester and obviously the wider world as well. And it's on the site of the world's first ever passenger railway station, which was, so the railway line was between Manchester and Liverpool. And it's in, you know, still the old buildings and stuff. So it's an amazing place to tell that story. And they have, great exhibits like old aircraft and trains and cotton mill machinery and things like that. I would say the Museum of Science and Industry is probably top of that list.
That's a really, great really answer. Good shout. And with that, well done on completing the quickfire round.
Thank you.
And now we're going to go into a few more general kind of things to do. And this is your time to like kind of say any extras and other things that you might want to do. So imagine your friends are coming to visit you. How would you introduce them to the city? What's the first thing you'd like to do?
And by friends, Dan, we mean me and James.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, I think the food and drink is such a big part of Manchester, for me at least. So I'd probably take people. There's one place that I always like to take people, which is called, it's like a place called Mackie Mayer, and it's like a food hall, which is in an old Victorian market hall. And it still has a really sort of retro sort of look, like this, like a glass ceiling and these old, amazing old pillars and stuff. But and they've kept it kind of looking that way. It still looks a bit sort of like rough around the edges, but in this amazing building. But then they've got these really great food vendors. There's actually the company that owns it have also got a place in Altrincham Market, which is in sort of on the edge of Greater Manchester, and then another one in Macclesfield as well. But just a great choice of food, like really good pizza, good ramen, tacos, stuff like that, and a couple of bars as well where they do like nice wine and stuff on tap and beers, obviously, and stuff like that. So that's a really nice place to sort of linger for a while, maybe go for a nice long lunch, something like that. That's in a part of town called the Northern Quarter, which along with Ancoats, which is just next door, are these kind of former industrial areas where the old warehouses and cotton mills have been repurposed into like trendy bars and restaurants and galleries and stuff. It's kind of equivalent to like the Baltic Triangle in Liverpool or the Ouseburn in Newcastle. It's like that as well. You could spend all day just sort of touring those areas. And then New Islington, which is next to Ancoats, has a nice marina. So if it's nice weather, which is a big if, obviously, in Manchester, but that's a nice place to either just sort of go for a wander, or you can, again, sit. There are nice bars and cafes and stuff. There's a great bakery called Pollen Bakery, which is in New Islington, which always has queues for just miles and miles, especially on the weekend. But if you go at the right time, then that's, also a nice place to sit outside of. So I probably would always start in that part of town. Other things that are good, I mentioned the Museum of Science and Industry is a great place to get a kind of overview of Manchester's like cultural history. There's also not too far from there, there's a place called the People's History Museum where it really is, it's great for getting a feel for the social history. Like I mentioned Emmeline Pankhurst, so there's a women's suffrage movement where Manchester was a big centre for that. Trade union movement, you know, there's a long history of kind of left-wing and progressive politics in Manchester. Like even Friedrich Engels lived here and sort of formulated a lot of his ideas here. So that's a great place to go for that. Good art galleries as well. There's probably the Whitworth Gallery is the best one. There's it's got like William Blake and Van Gogh and Picasso's and stuff like that in there. So that's definitely worth a visit. The Manchester Art Gallery as well is really good. So, That would be a good start.
Just a few things for a good start. Yeah. That's a great list, Dan. Thank you.
So then how about any hidden gems, Dan, sort of that you're willing to share with us and listeners?
Okay. So I'm not sure, for people who live in Manchester, they might sort of think this isn't really a hidden gem, but it's the kind of thing that people who aren't from Manchester probably don't tend to do it that much. And that is, I'd say, go to Chorlton, which is like a suburb, not very far, easy to get the tram there from the city centre or get a cab. And there's a road on Chorlton called Beach Road, which is just lots of really nice sort of pubs, boutiques and cafes and stuff. And to give you an idea of the sort of place it is, there's a newsagent there which supposedly sells more copies of The Guardian than any other shop outside London. So,
Well, The Guardian was the Manchester Guardian originally, wasn't
that's
it?
True. So, that is true. Yeah, that's true. So Beach Road's a really nice place to spend the day, but I'd say the best, the kind of jewel in the crown of Beach Road, if you like, is a place called San Juan, which is a tapas bar. And you go in and it's very kind of traditional decor. It's like, you know, tiled walls, sitting on wooden stools, and the food is just really, really good, really authentic. It's like being in like Seville or Granada or something like that. And I mean, again, notwithstanding the weather, but if it is a sunny day, it's a great place to sit outside as well. So I'd say, yeah, definitely go to San Juan. They also never used to do reservations, but now post pandemic, they do now. So that's a little silver lining. I know we might get onto that, but yeah, so that's what I'd suggest. A nice day out on Beach Road.
Cool. And I mean, you've mentioned a little bit about this before in terms of like kind of getting out of the city centre, going to, you are literally starting to move out of the city centre yourself anyway. If you're sort of going to the surrounding region, so as we talked about, that kind of greater Manchester region, are there any like brilliant sort of activities to do or brilliant things to do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, lockdown, like for lots of people, I spent a lot of lockdown trying to find places to go for a walk. You know, lots of people who live in a city. Well, I mean, London obviously is amazing for green spaces. Central Manchester, not so much. But there's a place in the north of Manchester called Prestwich. And there's a place there called Prestwich Forest Park, which I feel like when people talk about like the best parks in Greater Manchester, it never really gets mentioned that much. But it's got it's like a massive area of woodland. There's a lake and stuff. It's got mountain bike tracks, if that's what you're into. Really nice walking trails. So there's that. And then further south, there's, you know, I mentioned all these great parks in the Didsbury and Chorlton area. But then you don't have to go very far from Manchester to be touching the edge of the Peak District. And so Macclesfield Forest, for example, which is right on the western sort of fringe of the Peak District, is a brilliant place to go. It's probably about, I don't know, maybe an hour's drive, if that, from Manchester. Just a massive area of woodland with amazing walking trails and stuff. And then obviously the rest of the Peak District, just last weekend I was out sort of near Leek, which is maybe slightly further than that, but not very far at all. Slightly closer to home, Macclesfield, like I said, has some really cool places to eat and drink, and Macclesfield Picture Drone is one of them. So there's a lot. I mean, Liverpool is not far either at all.
It's what, like an hour's drive or something, or half an
hour's drive between Manchester? I mean, the train is probably a fair bit less than that. And Liverpool is obviously a brilliant city in its own right. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, like a couple of years ago, I went to like the Forest of Bowland as well, which is on the other side where like Clitheroe and stuff is, and that bit, and that's not technically the Peak District, right? But it's like kind of really stunning in itself.
It's stunning, yeah, it is. There's an amazing pub there called the Parker's Arms. I don't know if you've been there.
Is that the place of the pies?
Yeah, the place with the pies. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We did go there. It's the best. Yeah, yeah. It's just, I don't know, maybe the best pie I've ever had, potentially.
Wow.
Quite possibly.
Wow.
Big claim, but yeah, you heard it here first. Cool. Well, thanks for like kind of introducing us to Manchester, Dan. And we're going to find out next a little bit more about the sort of present and the future of Manchester. Whether you want to go wild swimming in the fairy pools of Skye, take a windswept walk along the Jurassic Coast, or scale the heights of Snowdonia, or even follow Dan's lead and hit up the streets of Manchester, your DKR Witness travel guide to Great Britain makes sure you experience all that the country has to offer. Find DKR Witness Great Britain in all good bookshops now, or via the link in our episode bio.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Dan, how has Manchester evolved during the last sort of few years?
Manchester's changed massively, even since I first moved here like 10, 12 years ago, I think it was. So you can't turn a corner now in the city centre without seeing like a new high-rise, like luxury apartment building springing up, cranes everywhere to all the building. But the pace of change in this sort of edgier, like cooler neighbourhoods is always, is so fast as well. Like, when I first moved to Manchester, the Northern Quarter was sort of the kind of edgy place to be. And then that moved to Ancoats. And then now it's probably moving out to New Islington now. It's in the same way that it happened in London, right? First with Shoreditch, then like Bethnal Green and Hackney and so on. It sort of spreads out.
Yeah.
So those things change really quickly. Obviously, the city has had its share of tragedy as well the last few years. 2017, there was... Yeah. The bombing at the arena, which was the biggest terrorist attack in the UK since the London bombings in 2005. But even then, you know, the response to that said a lot about Manchester's spirit, I think. Like, there's the symbol of the city, which is a bee, like the worker bee, to symbolise like industry, which comes from the days of the Industrial Revolution. And that became a lot more visible after the attack. Lots of people kind of got it tattooed and stuff, and it's like you see it all over the place now. So it's kind of, I guess, a kind of one legacy of that tragedy was at least the kind of coming together of the city. And then obviously COVID came along and changed everything for all of us.
Did Mancunians sort of rally together during the pandemic in the same way after they did with the arena bombings?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, initially, it was the same with any big city. Like, it was totally devastated by the restrictions and everything. Because the lifeblood of Manchester, as is probably obvious from the way that I've been talking, is hospitality and, in particular, food and drink. So Greater Manchester was under some of the most severe restrictions in the country for quite some of the longest time frames as well. And so the sight of Andy Burnham, who's, you know, the mayor of Greater Manchester, obviously...
Yep.
With his little North Face jacket on, like sticking it to the government about the restrictions and not giving us enough financial support and stuff like that. That became a very familiar image. And it was a sentiment that was shared by a lot of people here. You know, the idea that Manchester was being hard done by. And I think it's kind of partly because, you know, Manchester gets a lot of its energy from not being London, you know, being the capital of the North. And stuff, but there was also a real sense of kind of injustice that I think was totally understandable, really. But yeah, absolutely, everyone rallied around, and even though sadly a lot of businesses didn't survive, as is the case everywhere, Manchester as a whole now is definitely sort of back, and it's even buzzier than it ever was. And I'd say that some things have actually improved as a result of the pandemic and the restrictions and stuff. So a lot of the Northern Quarter, for example, was pedestrianised to allow bars to have outdoor seating, you know, when indoor wasn't allowed.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's going to be permanent now. So there's this kind of parts of the Northern Quarter, there's this sort of feeling of slight like cafe culture, I'd say. Almost European when it's warm and sunny, although that's only for about 3 days of the year normally. But
Well, if it's anything like today, hopefully it's a sunny day. Hopefully you can go for a drink later or something.
Dan. Yeah, no, it's very nice here today.
But yeah, and I think like, I mean, you sort of talk about Manchester and the worker bee and the kind of like, it's like a real city of makers, isn't it? And I think that's one thing that sort of shone out in the pandemic that, you know, lots of like small businesses were under threat. Andy Burnham talked about getting more support for them as well. And yeah, sadly, I think some of them have gone, but hopefully it's everything feel like it's back open now. Everything feels like it's kind of welcoming once again.
It does, yeah. And I think that in combination with the weather finally warming up a bit, is hopefully, you know, grounds for optimism, I think.
Fantastic. And I mean, whilst we're on the weather, when is the best time to see Manchester?
Spring or summer, I would say, definitely. I mean, the weather in Manchester does get a bad press. You know, they call it the rainy city, even though it's actually below the national average rainfall, but like quite significantly, I think. Huh. But the way that it's spread out, it feels like it rains like every day in Manchester. Not necessarily much, but at least a bit, you know. Yeah. And it's not that cold here, but it's like, it's just the winter can just feel very grey and gloomy and long. So, but summer's nice and quite often warm and quite often sunny, even though there's always a sort of lingering possibility of some rain. So I'd say bring a jacket, but spring and summer, when you can sit outside, are the best. Maybe if you do want to go to a football match, spring or late summer, because obviously the season is off between May and August, but you can always go to the cricket if not.
Yeah, otherwise wrap up very warm. But I was actually going to say, like, I, you know, I've been to Manchester quite a few times, quite a lot when I was younger as well. And one of the things that, like, I think, and you mentioned this in some of your best things to do, like, there's loads and loads of, like, old pubs that are, like, stained glass that, like, have original features and so on. Those are maybe one thing that are slightly better in the rain. Like, they're nice, like, havens almost.
That's true. Nice and cozy, yeah.
Manchester has a huge music legacy. Is there anything, any music festivals or sort of city events that anyone should, you know, that our listeners should be heading for?
So there's Parklife Festival, which is normally in June. Last year it was in September, I think, because of the way that the restrictions came back. I think it's due to be in the summer again this year. Big Electronic Music Festival, which is in Heaton Park in North Manchester now. Which is funny, like I remember when I was at university, I went to the second ever year of it. And back then it was just in a tiny little park, which was like opposite our halls of residence. And now it's this huge thing with like massive acts from that world playing. So yeah, there's, Parklife is probably the biggest kind of music event. There's also, I mean, sorry to go on about football again. There's
just try and drop in as much as you can, Dan. That's it. Don't listen. It's all fine.
There's the Women's Euros is being held in England this summer. So that includes Old Trafford and Man City, I think, as well. That's in July.
Cool.
And there's cricket as well. There's a tournament called the 100, which is at Old Trafford Cricket Ground, which is like a new sort of short format of the game, maybe not one for the purists, but it'd probably be a good day out. And then there's also, in September, there's Manchester Food and Drink Festival, which is like local producers from all across Manchester, Greater Manchester and the surrounding area sort of come together, and it's normally held in lots of different venues across the city as well. So you can sort of dip in and out.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Well, we'll see you there. But yeah, well, thanks so much, Dan. That was a real sort of smorgasbord of Manchester recommendations. And it was brilliant to hear about a city that I actually haven't been to in a while, but actually I maybe knew a bit better than I thought I did. It's really, really cool to hear that everything is kind of getting back to normal Absolutely. Now as well. So yeah. That's fantastic. But we'll not keep you too much longer. Do get out, enjoy the sun, enjoy the outdoor dining. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
No, thanks, guys.
It's been lovely.
Yeah. It's been wonderful.
It's been great. Thanks for having me on.
So a huge, huge thank you to Dan. That was wonderful. It's so nice to finally have him on the podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, Dan, he's just one of those names. He pops up in so many of our guides, so many of our our sort of special gift and inspiration books as well. And he's been a long time DK Eyewitness contributor. So it's fantastic to have Dan on the pod finally.
At long last.
And brilliant. I mean, I love the Great Britain episodes that we do, mainly because I've been to those places. it's amazing to kind of hear more about Manchester, like a real spread of things, a real spread of experiences as well. So thank you once again to Dan.
Thank you so much, Dan. So if you want to keep track of what Dan's up to, you can check him out on Instagram at Dan Stabs or on Twitter at Dan Stables.
Yes, and you can join us next time where, right now, we don't know where we're going. We'll be going somewhere, we promise you. So join us in a fortnight for a surprise. And in the meantime, thank you very much, Lucy.
Thank you very much, James.
And we shall see you soon.
Where to Go was produced by the team at DK Witness and the wonderful Julia Baker. It was presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards and mastered by Johnny Coddington at Bottle Rocket Recording. For more information about DK Eyewitness, follow us on social media at DK Eyewitness or visit dk.com/eyewitness.
And don't forget to please like, rate, review and subscribe the show wherever you get your podcasts. Your support means so much to us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.